Hello and welcome to Through the Turnstiles podcast, as we usually take an in-depth look at the lower leagues of Scottish football, joined as always by Muzz and James. How are you, boys?
Living la vida loca.
Yeah, I'm all right, by comparison, I think.
Good, Muzz, still racking up the miles in the League One arena?
Yes, wearing out the old tyres. I think I said that last week, recycling true. That.
Must be true if you're saying it twice. So this week, in a slight break from the norm, what we're going to do is take a look at a seamless transition from League One to the Scotland squad. The Scotland squads, that if we had to pick the squad now, that we would choose for the Euros in the summer, and we'll then, close at the time, compare it to A, the squad that Steve Clark picks, and B, if we'd make any changes based on form or whatever between now and then. The reason being... that just, as we've said before, the games in League One, League Two and Championship, they're just coming constantly. So anything we make is kind of out of date as soon as it's posted online and things. So fear not, once the splits are decided, we'll be back to dissect them by this time next week, probably. So this is just a slight deviance from the norm for something a wee bit different. And we'll see how we go. And also to hope that we know what we're talking about at levels above the Scottish Championship. Before we get into this, Muzz, do you have a journeyman for us?
Yeah, I've of the ones we have left to go through, I've looked for a bit of an international link, saying we're good. Focusing on the Scotland squad.
You must.
And needless to say, I was not let down. again, it is a very, very short one. It's a single sentence, but it's just random as anything. Richie Edwards, who... is a Air United fan, surprise, surprise. They seem to be full of the journeyman spots. And this is a fresh contribution. He said he met former Scotland manager Bertie Vogts at Epcot Park in Florida in 2007.
Two questions for you. Question one, did he get a cap? And two, was Bertie Vogts wearing a cap at the time? Probably one of the spare Scotland ones he had floating about.
That's not one of the managers, the former managers I'd expect to be in Florida. to be fair.
Yeah, I don't know what Epcot Park is actually, but
I think it's just like a theme park. I can't imagine Herr Vogts overly enjoying that, to be honest.
Not really.
That's not his cup of tea, is it?
Yeah, you can't imagine arms in the air down a roller coaster, hair flapping in the wind.
If I had to manage a picture an ex Scotland manager at a theme park, I think it might be George Burley, you know.
No, come on.
Even worse, probably. Than
no,
he's wearing an oversized short-sleeved shirt, you know, like in a holiday shirt, and maybe like combat shorts.
Aye, he's got those side low pockets, Burley. Ha, one of those tees of sunscreen, despite the fact he's under a big umbrella. It's not Burley's game at all.
Has he got his sunglasses tucked in there?
Yeah,
100%.
Hi.
Terry Butcher behind him carrying his towel.
I don't know if any Scotland picture any Scotland managers at the theme parks.
I bet you Walter Smith's got a nifty pair of flip-flops, by the way. He's got good leather ones, doesn't he?
He's a beach boy, though, I think. Beach bum.
100%, to be fair. Yeah. So there you have it. Bertie Vogts, Epcot Park, Florida. Bertie Vogts. This is a blast for the past. I'd forgotten he was even a guy, to be honest. So as always, if you're watching on YouTube, if you could do us a massive favour and like the video and subscribe to the channel, that would help us massively. We're also on Twitter at TurnstilesThe, and you can get us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and all the usual kind of formats there as well. So any comments or feedback on the journeyman and or our thoughts on this, let us know on the YouTube comments or via Twitter. Any of the standard Bertie Vogts would be much appreciated. So, Muzz, from Bertie Vogts Scotland squad to Steve Clark Scotland squad, this is what he picked for the last kind of triple header with Austria, Israel and Faroe Islands. And there was no real surprises in that squad, was there? Maybe Kevin Nisbet?
I think he's about as close to a surprise as you'll get from that selection, but he has been knocking on the door, and I think that doubleheader was the perfect time to give him the opportunity that I think he's deserved. Mm-hmm. Maybe not so much the Israel game, but I think he didn't feature in that at all, but I think obviously Clark had in mind the Faroes game to introduce him. In the hope that we'd maybe be in a comfortable enough position, or indeed need to call on somebody who would offer a bit more of a goal threat. So about, yeah, I'm you know, looking through it, that's about it.
The only kind of, yeah, sorry, on you go.
The only one I would, the other person I would maybe, well, Jack Hendry.
That's just because they're kind of contentious ones where Hanley and Hendry, I think it was both their first caps since 2018 or something.
No, I try to follow English football as much as I can, but I'm more focused on Scottish football, obviously. And it was news to me that Hanley was playing so well down south, because when I first saw it, I didn't think he should be anywhere near it, the squad. Well, nah, that's harsh. Maybe. I was surprised to see him included, but I was completely oblivious to his great form down south. Jack Hendry, I know had been playing in Belgium, but I didn't realise to, again, what standard. And the other one was Greg Taylor, because I think we're so blessed with left backs. Mm-hmm. I'll get to that when I talk about the squad.
Yeah, I think
my surprise with Grant Hanley was just how young he is, because it has been the fact that he was in that squad, like you say, Andy, in 2018 or something, 3 years ago, and he seemed like an old head then. I don't know if it's experience or just if he looked like he moved like an old man, but he's in like not bad form and not bad time of his life. So it's a surprise to see his name. But like Muzz, I wasn't like scouring English football in anticipation of this squad, but when his name came in and you go and look at what he's done, I think he's a worthy inclusion, despite the fact I don't think I have included him.
He's captain of a side that's 8 points clear of at the top of the English Championship. For kind of another role that I do, I'd seen a wee bit of Jack Henry actually, and he's looking decent over there. Obviously, Belgian football is not the highest standard, but it's probably on par with the kind of Scottish Premiership. And he's doing all right. He's doing not too bad. So,
before we move on, do we think Ollie McBurney's on his way out of this squad? Because he is quite similar to some of the other strikers that are in and about now. So I wondered if Clark's maybe just given him the nod because he's tried and tested. And we don't really have many others. And we don't know what Adams can be like internationally. We don't know what Nisbet will be like internationally. Dykes has had a wee run internationally. McBurney's not been great for us, but at least he's played. Do we think he'll fall out of Clark's squad before the Euros?
We'll come on to it as we go, but I think Clark takes McBurney. I think he thinks he's the closest we've got to Dykes in terms of physical stature and as a target man, back to goal, link up. So, like I say, we'll come at it as we go once we get to strikers, but I think Clark takes him. So what we've done is we've based a 23-man squad. There is chat of the squad's potentially being extended to 25, 26, but that's not confirmed or kind of here or there. So we've each individually done a 23-man squad, and there's one or two that we'll maybe mention as being kind of on that standby list. So if squads get extended, then they'll kind of drop in. So the way we've done it, we submitted our squads to James individually. He's went through them, and players that we've all three of us have picked, he's put them into a squad, which should appear on screen here.
As if by magic, hopefully. There we go.
There we have it. So these are positions and players that the three of us have picked that I don't think there's any real debate about from us or Scotland fans. So Gordon and Marshall is two of the kind of traditional three goalkeepers. I think between them, they've probably played the last 20-odd games. It's either been one or t'other. Defenders. Muzz Cooper gets a bit of a hard time from Clark, doesn't he? In terms of he wasn't in that last squad. They had a interesting challenge at the weekend against Man City, but he's still captaining an English Premiership side, playing every week under Bielsa. I don't understand how he can't get in ahead of, and no disrespect, like an Andy Considine. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's what you just said there. You can't really sugarcoat it. Any, you know, he is, like you say, captain of not just a team that romped the Championship. We just talked about how Grant Hanley deserves to be in the Scotland squad because he's captain in a... Is he captain in Norwich?
Yeah, he is. Captain. I don't know if he's permanent, but the last games I've watched relatively recently was captain.
Yeah, 8 points clear of the Championship, walks into the squad, deservedly. And Cooper just seems to be not quite shoeing as he should be. So
interesting one. Gallagher, we've all kind of gone with. He's back in the Motherwell team now. Robertson, Tierney, absolutely. Moving on to midfielders, Armstrong, Christie, Forrest. James is one back from injury he's not controversial, is he? He's got to be in there.
Yeah. Part of me thinks when I was considering who to put in there, I wanted, I think we'll play a 3-5-2 or a 5-3-2, whatever version. We'll have three centre halves and we'll have wingers going. I also, when I was thinking about this, was thinking if I wanted to change it to a 4, I would want to get some natural wide players in it. And I think Forrest can play either as part of a 5, either at the back or in midfield, or he can play a wee bit further forward. And I get that he's not played very much, but he is just class. He is an unbelievable footballer. So you go to the Euros, he's not had the most amount of football recently. He's back from injury and playing. And to be fair, he was part of a Celtic team that absolutely demolished the Livingston team. So it's one of those ones where it's maybe controversial because he's not played. But again, how can you not take him when he can fit into different formations? He's a game changer. He's a game winner. He's it'd be remiss to leave him at home because, oh, he's only getting fitness when we've got what, 5, 4 or 5 Premiership games left. Yeah, no chance.
I think you're right. I think if there ever was a situation where it called for it to go 3-4-3 or kind of 4-5-1 and you wanted a wide player either side of a striker, Fraser's obviously an option, but you would need Forrest in there as well. And there's a train of thought, Muzz, that potentially it's been a long, hard slog of a season for 95% of that squad. So is Forrest's kind of freshness actually a boost? Is that a positive for him? If he can get 5 games under his belt and go into a tournament only playing 10 games, he's got to be fresher than boys that have played 40 games.
Depends how well he's recovered from his injury, because he seemed to have an instant impact against Livingston, but I think he's been taken off again.
He then went off with tightness of the hamstrings and hips and stuff. You've obviously seen enough to pick him.
Yeah, well, I was wondering if I wasn't so I'm not so sure Clark. I'm not 100% sure Clark's going to take him, based on the fact that he hasn't played hardly any football this season. Because I don't really see that, you know, five or six games is going to equate to automatically match fitness ready for an international tournament. But such is his quality, as James has mentioned. If he is fit, injury free, such as his quality and his status, I think he has to be included. Whether Clark actually takes him or not, I'm not 100% sure on what his opinion is going to be on that.
He's maybe lucky a wee bit, Forrest, in that there's, of the games he's got left, 2 of them are going to be old forms. If you count, there's still a league game and obviously the cup game, so it's a decent standard. And with that top 6, he's not playing again, due respect, like Ross County or whatever. He's playing decent, like with the top of the Scottish League anyway. So
what I did do as well was, you guys had submitted it and between the three of us we'd all picked Fraser, but I think you boys had put him in as, I think you'd called it like attackers, Andy, and you'd chucked him in there, but I've said, right, we'll just call it a midfielder and an out and out striker. So again, Muzz is saying you're maybe not taking Forrest, but nobody, myself and either of you boys, have really suggested another winger. So if you're imagining you're playing Fraser either on the right or the left, if you go to like a 2 wide players rather than a wing back, so who's going to make up that? A 4-3?
You're right, because ideally you're wanting, you know, maybe 2 players per position as much as you can. Mm-hmm. Although, which you can't just about imagine with a, you can't just about achieve with a 23-man squad. Mm-hmm. So I think that's a good point, James. If you're looking for a natural winger other than Fraser, I mean, you get guys like Christie, Armstrong, McGregor to an extent who can play off the sides, but for an out-and-out winger, you're looking at Forrest and Fraser as being our best options. And
I'm not one for the Robertson Tierney, play one at left back, one left wing. Like, for me, it's a completely different game when you're playing higher up the pitch, and I don't think either of them are that capable of playing that style of game. So it was a matter of let's get a wide player in there, and I think Forrest is probably the best we've got in terms of that.
Yeah. So again, no real question marks over him again, over McGregor. McTominay's got to be in there. The question mark might be of whether he's a defender, whether he's a midfielder. I had him in as a midfielder because that's where I would play him.
Yeah, the three of us have got him in as a midfielder. I think you can sneak him in as a midfielder because that's ideally where I would play him. Mm-hmm. And I think you can almost cheat. And if you need him to go in at centre-half, then by all means.
Yeah. And the two strikers, there's no Cluedo Crockery of the night, Muzz, no?
No, I'm going for a wider, deeper.
Must have needed a more satisfying beverage.
It surprises me to interject there that you boys don't have just like the mug. Like, I've just got that, the Jack Wills mug that's not made an appearance for a while, but I never changed
one,
my mug.
The one traditional mug.
Have you not just got Cluedo mug, Muzz? You not just stick to that?
No, that's a set. Cluedo's a set. I've got hundreds of mugs and cups and stuff.
I'm just an old reliable me.
And Adams and Dykes, the Camino question marks over as the front two. So, James, first position's goalkeeper. So if you flick us on there, I'd put in Liam Kelly. So had you, James. Muzz, you've went John McLaughlin. For me, John McLaughlin's about seventh choice. I think he played on the 4th of April against Cove. His last competitive game before that, 10th of December, against Lech Poznan in a group game that was already done. And I think before that, it was November. He played against Falkirk. Just for me, Kelly's flying just now. Saved a penalty at the weekend. Young, so likely to be about the squads for years to come. I think even if Kelly somehow got injured, I'd still have probably Xander Clark, Scott Bain, maybe even kind of, because they're playing regular football and going as third keeper. What's your justification, Muzz, for Johnny Boy?
Just that he's just sitting there already. Third choice goalkeeper in an international squad. I was toying with gambling and just taking two keepers because I think it's almost. I know why it happens because if you lose one to injury, you're then left with one keeper and you've got risk of.
You throw one in, a la Rob Green, member for England and against America.
Yeah, you're in. Whether you drop out the squad because of injury or poor form, you're left with just one keeper, and you're then running the risk. Yeah, but so if I had my way, I would probably just take two keepers to an international tournament and free it up for an outfield position. But I think McLaughlin, when he deputised for McGregor at the start of season or whenever he's had to, I think he was. It was hard to justify actually putting McGregor back into that Rangers team, other than the fact that he is Alan McGregor and he is the club number one. And
he waited until he had that shaky game against Hibs. I think it was 2-2 at Easter Road. I think Gerrard was half happy with that because he was just like, right, Alan, you're back in.
Yeah, I get your bit about goalkeepers who are playing regularly, and I'm not saying Xander Clark likes him, Liam Kelly, who I rate highly, would disgrace themselves, but I would say their time will come when Marshall and Gordon move on, and then it's time.
Do you not think being in the squad for this tournament would help them moving forward? No, do you not buy into that?
Yeah, no, I do buy into that. I've been a bit lazy with that one, the third goalkeeper position, and I've just.
Like you say, though, he'll know how Marshall and Gordon train and the setup with Stevie Woods based on being in the squads previously. So.
And he's tall and commanding and does a good job.
I think my justification for Kelly was as a combination of what you boys have said either now or said prior. When Gordon started that last game, and you're saying, why is Gordon starting? And I think you'd sent it to us, or I can't remember if we'd spoken in person. You were like, why is Gordon starting? What's he bringing that Marshall isn't? And half of me wonders if it's because Hearts were having a shocker with Ross Stewart in goals, so you've got to justify taking Gordon nationally, or you fancy playing him. But for me, Muzz has called it as well, it's the third choice goalkeeper you're taking. For me, it's Marshall, and then it's Gordon, then it's plus one other. And what I don't really see what you get by taking McLaughlin to come and because likelihood is he's not going to play with Kelly. I think we're struggling really after Marshall and Gordon because I think Kelly's good, but I don't know if he's as good as them. But
no, he's not. He's
He's the one that's likely to be number one in the future. My only other one would have been Xander Clark, and I just think ability wise, Kelly's got more potential, and he's been in the international squad before. Clark's unlucky, but I think Gordon or Marshall will drop out fairly soon, and it'll be say Marshall, Kelly, Clark will make up the three. Scott Bain for me is good. He's just got wee arms. And I could this do not stupid, having lettuce wrists in an international tournament.
Is it a headache worth having like three on form keepers that you can't? Does that sound like a stupid thing?
No, if
you've got three on form keepers that you can't settle on, you can't decide who you're going to pick, and you're just waiting for one of them to slip up before the other one moves in. I think it's such a dead rubber of a inclusion, that third choice goalkeeper.
I understand why it's needed. Jobs, but... the shooting practice at training where they don't want the number one to get injured and the number three just gets up and goals and boys shell balls up from 6 yards. Right, moving on then, James, on to defenders.
I think someone good as well would be your morale booster.
The thing is, we maybe doing McLaughlin injustice. We don't see the training. So McLaughlin's maybe the life and soul of it, or he's maybe a really good trainer, and the boys maybe really like him. So he's maybe like best mates with Ryan Jack, and we want to keep him happy. So there's maybe wee things that go on that behind the scenes that we don't see. So moving on to defenders then. Quite the spread here. So
Muzz is light on defenders as well. I think he's loaded up in the midfielders here.
He's got McTominay that can drop in. So from top to bottom there, just starting at yours, you boys have both got McKenna. He's nowhere near it for me. We've both got O'Donnell, James. Nowhere near it for Muzz. Both you boys have got Patterson. I'm flying a lone flag with Jack Henry and that. So
massive spread, eh? Very little consistency. Just McKenna, Hanley and Patterson.
I think... Do you see Patterson playing off the right then, Muzz? Just kind of looking at that.
I've got to tell you, James, I didn't mean that Patterson. I meant Nathan Patterson. Because I've just texted you the word Patterson, which I understand why you've gone for Callum.
Do you want me just to do a live edit, Muzz, and we'll cut this?
Aye, if you can do. I think Stephen O'Donnell has done a job for Steve Clark at Kilmarnock, 100%. And I think he sees somebody as somebody he relies on. I feel he's can be ever so slightly out of his depth at international level. That's not to say, Nathan Patterson, you could say the same for given his lack of experience, but I just think Nathan Patterson is a better right back than Stephen O'Donnell. And if he wasn't, then Stephen O'Donnell would be right back for Rangers, not Nathan Patterson. I think he offers like a fresh dynamic, kind of like a young Alan Hutton, where it's just caution to the wind going forward. I think Stephen O'Donnell, when he gets up the park, unless he's not got too much time to think and he's whipping in an early cross, I think he can be in, you know, he can get himself in trouble further up the park. He can lose possession for us. I just think Nathan Patterson offers a fresh impetus with a that kind of useful exuberance, if you will.
Do you think, Muzz, that that's the reason O'Donnell signed a new deal at Motherwell, and that there wasn't that many kind of bigger clubs in for him? Because obviously he's just signed a new 2-year at Motherwell, isn't he?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And obviously we've both got Hanley for reasons that we spoke about earlier. I think I've just had to go O'Donnell because, and James has as well, it's a lack of viable alternatives, really. He's got 18 caps now. He's fine, isn't he? Like, I was concerned about him going into Austria game, to be honest. And I know he did a bit of skill against Alba, and kept people kind of raving about it. But I don't think he was too bad. But on the other hand, James, you shouldn't be kind of justifying international players and saying, no, he wasn't too bad. Do you know what I mean?
No, but... He's almost like a 6 out of 10, just consistent. You know what you're getting with him. I think he's fairly steady. He'll make some mistakes. He'll make some mistakes that lead to goals, but he'll also rescue some other folk and he'll cover for some other boys. And you know, he's just a guy. Basically, he's not a terrible right back where you're going, I can't believe we've got to play him. Admittedly, you just said you had some doubts going into the Austria game, but when I see his name, I'm not overly concerned about him going in and moving forward. He's a guy that's sort of Mr. Consistent. I did toy about Palmer, but for me, I also can't tell you who's going to be the number one, number two. Like, who's going to be the starting right back? I imagine it'll be O'Donnell, but
yeah.
You've said you thought Palmer was flying. Having a quick browse again. I like Callum Patterson when he plays it right back. I think he's a good physical presence, like height-wise, weight-wise. Can play up front and has got some goals. So again, you can sort of...
He gives you the option for a diagonal, doesn't he? Kind of coming in off the right-hand side, really. He's that kind
of... Yeah, and if we're playing with some... Like the formation I would have envisaged is a sort of a tighter three or almost a box in behind the striker. So you're looking for that ability down wide, and he is someone you can look to hit Robertson and Tierney, like, not terrible in there, but Patterson's got that height coming in. He's got a big chuck of it as well. He can throw it, he can score goals. So I don't see, like, if I took Patterson, I wouldn't play him. It'd be O'Donnell. But for me, I would easily take Palmer as well. But like I said, you said Palmer was doing well, you thought.
Palmer's doing all right at Sheffield. When I've seen him, I've seen about four of their games actually in the last 2 weeks, a couple obviously recordings. At times he's tucked in on the right-hand side of a back three, Palmer, because Sheffield have been playing a back three. So he gives you another option there that you'd hope you have enough defenders in the squad to compensate. But if he starts and for whatever reason he needs to go in and play on that back three, he's used to it. And again, when he has been playing wing-back, let's say Sheffield have been playing a back three, so he's been used to playing that system.
Another thing is as well that I think we will go with the back three at the tournament. So I don't think there's as much need to like overload in the right back area. And if we have to switch it up, then I think there's options. I think like if we have to switch it from a 3-2, say in game, sorry, 3-4, say in game, you can put Tierney over onto the right hand side, although it might be.
I'd argue that Kendrick could do a job there as well.
Yeah, you could shift. I think you could shift the centre half to right back at worst case scenario. I know we Tierney is fast becoming one of, if not our most important player. So you want to maximise his output by putting him in his most favoured position. But I just think trying to juggle and maximise everybody's potential and play to our strengths. As James pointed out, you've got likes of Forrest that can maybe play in that right wing.
The first season Livy came up, they played a back three, but the last kind of 3 months of that season, they almost went to a four with Lawless, who was playing wing back, going higher. And Gallagher, there's another one, he basically played right back for Livy for a good chunk of that season. And even when Livy played the three, the right wing back played higher and the left wing back, it was usually Lamy. He'd kind of tuck into left back and it'd almost go Lamy, left, go Halkett, Gallagher at right back. So there's another one, Maz. It's a very valid point, actually. You've got options there.
The way I would have laid out my 11 would be Gallagher would be starting on like right centre half for me of a three with someone like Cooper in the middle. And then I've gone with McKenna because he's a decent left footer. I don't rate him that much, but I think him, Porteous, etc., would be an all right little foil in there, or Tierney definitely.
I wouldn't have Porteous. I don't think Porteous is in there. I think he's too rash.
But I think regardless, if you put Tierney in there, if we are playing this three, I think him and Gallagher have then got a bit of license to go up because we saw the damage that Tierney can do. Mm-hmm. Because if you're playing McKenna or Porteous, they're not going to get up as much. But if you play Gallagher on one side of Cooper, Tierney on the other, they're both going in for some underlaps and getting those balls into the box that Tierney, like Muzz is saying, is a bit invaluable. Because Gallagher does have that drive to get forward. And I think, though, it says it all that we've, between the three of us, we've picked two centre-halves and two left-backs. And there's some consistency in terms of the left-backs we take, the centre-halves we take, but we're toiling over a right-back. So I think justifiably, but we're not really overly sure how good or not O'Donnell is. But we presume Clark's going to take him.
Also, Considine was in Steve Clark's latest squad and not one of the favourites of
dropped because I'd like you said on earlier, you'd rather have Cooper than Considine.
Mm-hmm. Right. Move on to the midfield then, James. What we got? What we're working with? So
I'm taking one more midfielder.
With the players that obviously the midfield was an area where we agreed on the vast bulk of it. So interestingly, myself and James have gone Turnbull, myself and Muzz have got Ryan Jack. I think if Jack gets fit, you've got to take him 120%. Muzz Gilmore and Gold. Gold's flying as well, by the way.
Yeah, I have to admit, I've gone a bit maverick here, but I can't ignore Gold's form of late. And I think playing in a European league, he offers something a bit different, a different mentality, and he's performing.
I've watched his last three games and he's captain in that team now. Yeah. And he's filled out and his work rate's good and he's pressing and he's getting on the ball. He's playing he's playing as a 10, but at times he'll play off the left, off the right. He's developed massively.
Yeah, and he's assisting as well as scoring. Yeah, I think every time I mention Golden about the Scotland squad, all I hear is, aye, but he was on loan at Hibs and he didn't do anything. But that's such a typical Scottish mentality where you're only basing it on what you've got in front of you, and you're not factoring in the fact that he was carrying Kevin a lot of injuries.
Kevin Nisbet got released by Partick Thistle, so should he just never be in a squad again?
Yeah, exactly. So I think that the dynamism he could bring to that midfield, I'm not saying he starts for Scotland every game, but I think he is somebody that will come off the bench with a bit of guile that could open up a defence if we're struggling to break a team down. And he's proven himself. He's proven himself in the Portuguese Super League, so he doesn't need to prove himself.
Do you think he doesn't have to do
his turn in the SPL to...
Do you think to an extent people have still got the image of the wee boy that he was at Dundee United in their heads? Because there is sometimes a bias towards, as soon as people move out of Scotland or away from England, there's just like out of sight, out of mind. And when people think of him, they think a kind of small...
sort of weedy.
I think that's an aspect, but the money he's moved for as well, and the anticipation that that move sort of brought... I know I certainly expected him to be in the Scotland squad like flying straight away, and he hasn't done it. So I know it's not my job, it's Steve Clark's job not to forget names like that. But for me, like you say, he moved for money. In my head, he's still a wee boy who was worth a lot, came onto the international scene, didn't really do much, and then sort of...
Well, I know Ryan Jack, Jim. Yeah.
I think we've got enough players who can pass the ball sideways when we need it.
He can tackle boys, though. We don't have many players that can tackle boys.
Well, for me, like I said, I'd be playing McTominay in midfield. McGinn isn't afraid of tackle. McGregor can do the defensive side, plus the running, plus the link up into the strikers. So I think for me, you've got two players that could be defensively minded, and either McTominay and McGinn or McTominay and McGregor. Your attacking players who I'd be playing in behind the striker would be Armstrong, would be Christie. And I think you've got either McGinn or McGregor who can link it up, and you've got Forrest and Fraser who can do the wide play. Turnbull, I think, offers that, like that something a wee bit special. The likes of Armstrong, the likes of Christie, but he's also one that I'm taking with a look to getting him into the squad, so being in and about it. He's probably not going to start any games, Turnbull. My starters would come from the players that we've all picked, but for me, you get him in and about, and I've made up not taking any other midfielders by taking four strikers. So Jack, by all means, was on my list, and if I was taking a 26-man squad, Jack would be coming. But I've thought McTominay, McGinn / McGregor, your defenders. So let's take Turnbull and put another striker in that 23.
I still think Jack's underrated. Like, it's every game that matters when he's fit. Gerrard plays him. Like, gets with the part, he wins the ball for you. I know you say he plays sideways, but I think he plays forward all right.
He does. He scores as well. He'll
make runs beyond. If it's
but is he better than any of the players that are listed at doing it? Is he better than McGregor, McGinn, McTominay?
I'd say he's better than... See, going into 50-50, I'd be batting Ryan Jack over Callum McGregor all day.
I think for the sake of squad balance, you need Ryan Jack in there. I think, for me, he would probably start in that kind of two in front of the defence.
See, if you're 1-0 up against Czech Republic, you want Ryan Jack on the park.
Yeah. I think for the balance of that team, you need a defensive-minded midfielder to let the creative players do their job. Because if you're going to fill a midfield with McGregor, Christie,
McGinn,
Armstrong's quite industrious, McGinn in an advanced position, Scott McTominay can do
positionally.
The side,
McTominay can get lost going forward. I
just think you need that. I think you need someone like Jack. Now that Scott Brown's retired, you need that kind of keystone in the middle of the park. And I think, as you've highlighted, Andy, he's got more to his game than just putting a tackle.
He can do the dirty, but he can do the nice stuff as well.
He's
decent. Right,
yeah, justifiably, he's in and about. Like you said, if we take a larger squad, I'm not sort of getting rid of him altogether. He's on my sort of the jump seats in the aeroplane. But for me, I'd rather, and I'll justify it when we get there, go strikers. But I'm intrigued by Muzzy's Billy Gilmore before we moved on. Would you see him starting, Muzz, or is he just there for soaking up the atmosphere and getting the party?
Another one that'll keep the ball for you.
Yeah, I think he could maybe not start, but again, it's a type of guy that if we go one up in a game, two up, knowing that Clark is happy to sit on that kind of scoreline, he's the kind of guy that'll come in and knock the ball about. And I don't care how young he is or inexperienced he is. Like, we're Scotland and we've got this 19, 20-year-old that can jump into the Chelsea team, a Champions League semi-final outfit, and just slot in like no problem. And I think if he was English, he would be starting every second game for Chelsea.
It's ridiculous as well that people think he's too young, but England are playing like Phil Foden, who's probably younger than him, I'd imagine, Jude Bellingham's definitely younger than him. Like, get the boy in. Like, you see all these Spanish boys with 120
past success rate.
Aye.
His past success rate's 85 plus every game.
And you see, let's say, you see German players, Spaniards with 120 caps by the age of 29. Like, those boys got put in young. You know what I mean? Yeah. I think we've still got a very bad habit of, well, he's too young and let's go for experience, play it safe. No, the boy's good enough. Like, fine, get him in.
You're sort of looking to take him in turn, Bawad, saying you're not, like, if someone gets injured, you're obviously not delighted with it, but you're fairly confident that you can put them in and it's not going to change it. And you see it all the time with goalkeepers. If a goalkeeper specifically, if a goalkeeper gets injured, someone needs to step up and be it long term. The same thing easily could happen here. You go into the first game, Stuart Armstrong gets a knock or something. Well, who's going to go in? Why not Turnbull? Why not Gilmour? Christie goes in, right, well, next sub on, why not Turnbull? Why not Gilmour? So, like you're saying, start them early. I'm not completely against. So,
right, onto the strikers then. So both of you boys, interestingly, took a punt on Lee Griffiths. I just think he's had too many chances, man. Honestly, like, I just don't think he can get himself into a good shape between now and then, like, to play. And people are saying maybe the reason Forrest shouldn't go is lack of match fitness. I'd wager between now and then the season, Forrest will play about twice as many minutes as Griffiths, at least, I'd say. And Griffiths hasn't kicked a ball for a long time, like, in a game that matters.
I received a message this morning calling out Muzz, and I'll read you the exchange, because I think what's noticeable is a lack of Lawrence Shankland. So the message says, call out your mate Muzz for saying Shankland's been a bit stale at United this season. You can't be firing 25 goals as a striker when your team doesn't put 25 crosses in all season. So I've said, if you've got one spot on the plane, are you taking Shankland or are you taking Griffiths? The answer is, you've got to take Shankland. You can't be having an overweight fella that hasn't kicked a ball in earnest in two seasons making it. My argument for Griffiths, which I think is what you were leading us towards, is you know what he can do. We've seen what he can do against a team like England already. My concern is an overweight or an unfit Griffiths probably can't do it as well. But I think for me, he's a quality player when he can get on and when he's got a manager that will trust him and play him. Because there was all sorts of times when he didn't play for Scotland, but when he was banging in like 40 goals a season, I don't think you can look past him. Again, he's probably, the reason I'm taking four is he's probably fourth choice, and you throw him on if you're late in the game, you're playing for set pieces, because you know he can deliver it. And he offers for me something slightly different from the other three. I don't think Shankland does, but I think you need to take Griffiths.
So even this season, Muzz, based on Nisbet's form, there's a half chance in the box in the last minute. You'd rather have Griffiths the way he's playing than Nisbet the way he's been this season?
I think it is subjective.
No, absolutely.
But I know what you're saying. And I've been somebody who privately and with you guys probably has probably called for Kevin Nisbet to be...
That's why I was surprised there.
You know, there'll be multiple evidence.
Would he be one of your standbys then?
The reason I've only gone with four forwards, one of them being Fraser, is because I just think the type of players we have right now, and the way we play, there's so much options from midfield, and there's so many attacking minded midfield players that, again, to get everybody that I want, you know, to be in that squad and to get the maximum out of them, I've jiggled things around a bit. Lee Griffiths, I'm going to echo what James is saying, where I'm not saying he starts, definitely not, but I'm saying as an impact player, we know what he can do. He's so dangerous getting a shot off on that left foot. We know like what he can do from set pieces. I think he has enough in the bank in a Scotland shirt to merit, and I think he's still got something to offer. Yeah, but I think it would be a major gamble. And I think Kevin Nisbet himself would be, if he was sitting at home and Lee Griffiths got on that plane, I'd be scratching my head.
I just think in the last kind of 6 months, Nisbet's link-up play has got a lot better. See, if you'd asked me in kind of October, I'd be taking Griffiths all day. But the more I've seen Nisbet, especially live, he's dropping deep now. He's taking it. He's linking up. He's spinning. He's getting in the box. And now he's added that to his game. I think he merits it.
Yeah. Whereas maybe Griffiths is more of a last shoulder defender.
I just don't know if Scotland can afford a player like that.
But I think for like in a European game where the ball might drop once and he's just got to pull the trigger. I think he's got, in a way, he's got, you know, so much to offer in that situation. Mm-hmm. But I was a wee bit, my opinion of Nisbet changed a wee bit during the January transfer window and the Birmingham City debacle kind of thing. And I think he lost form off the back of that and he was dropped a wee bit. And I just think, I don't think the form the second half of the season has been quite as good as the first half of the season, albeit I think I totally agree with you about what the extra things he's brought to his game. I just think for a tournament, a shootout, Kevin Nisbet is for the longer campaign, for the years ahead, 100%. But for a tournament situation, I would call in Griffiths.
Yeah,
I'm with you, Muzz, in terms of your assessment of Shankland as well. Like, I think he's almost played his way out of international recognition to the level that if I'm taking four strikers, I'm taking an unfit Lee Griffiths ahead of him. But devil's advocate wise, if you're saying we've got enough from midfield to supply someone like Shankland, are you still thinking he's going to be a bit stale? Do you think it is supply, or do you think he's gone a wee bit off the boil like Nisbet has? Because there's an argument, like you say, for not taking Nisbet, because his form's dipped as well, and he's playing on a team that does create chances. So
I've seen Shankland live a fair bit, and I still think he could show more off the ball in terms of showing for feet to help build up and then hit the box. Right, at times, for me, he just plays too high. Yeah. And then he can't then say there's no chances when he's not helping build up to said chances.
I think Griffiths can bring that to his game as well. He's got the technique and the vision. When he drops deep, he can, you know, if he's taking the ball in the half turn, he can ping it. He's got the vision to ping it out to wide players, get in the box, things like that, or drop deep and just play some like intricate interplay. But I agree that Shankland's more of almost a poacher. And look, I'm like, honestly, I'm every decision I make when I'm picking the squad, I'm questioning myself as well. So I'm not saying like, see if Shankland and Nisbet were in that Scotland squad this summer, I'd be perfectly delighted, right? Honestly,
you'd take Shankland if you knew we were going to play a two up top, and he could link in with someone like Dykes who'd do the running and get the ball to him, and we're playing wide players who can get the ball in. You'd maybe take him in a situation like that. But I'm half thinking about how would I play, but also if I'm picking a squad, how do I presume Steve Clark's going to play? And it's going to be one up front with probably a midfield, an advanced midfielder supporting him, Fraser, Armstrong, both perhaps.
In response to the chat that messaged, I totally understand what he's saying, but if Shankland doesn't get in the service and he's not, that's not my problem. He's not scoring.
Yeah.
He's not hitting the net, and Nicky Clark is now and again. Mark McNulty is now and again. Shankland, not so much. And I don't mean that to sound. I don't doubt what Shankland could bring with quality service 24/7 or 90 every
week,
one in seven or whatever. But Shankland doesn't have to prove anything to anyone really anymore about his goal scoring prowess, but. Aye, having said that, I'm sitting here saying Lee Griffiths should go when he's barely kicked the ball.
How deep did we see Dykes coming in some of those games to pick up the ball internationally and try and carve out those chances? Dykes was playing in a Livingston team where he needed to carve out chances himself, which got him a move down south. So, Shankland hasn't scored 25 goals because he didn't get 25 good crosses. But like Andy's saying, if he's not running about off the ball, carving chances for himself, then of course he's not scoring 25 because... Can he just stand in the box and hope that other players are going to pass you the ball?
Half the battle.
That's a striker's dream, but in Scottish football, Scottish international football, that's not going to happen.
Half the battle, and what Nisbet and Dykes did well is they won fouls high up the park, which then let crosses going to the box, which they then scored on. If Shankland's not given a platform for Dundee United to play off, he's not going to get the chances. It's like you say, it's not as easy as just kind of waiting on chances. So have you got kind of final squads up there, James?
No, but I have. Well, apart from the combined squad that we pulled together, I have got an 11 of mine that I've filled out and wondered if you boys had an 11 in your head. If you just want to admire how nice my 11 looks.
I'm going Marshall.
Hold on, O'Donnell. I'll fire it in just now.
Are we going in Clark's formation? Yeah.
Up to you. So you're playing Marshall and goals. You're going, what formation are you fancying?
So I'm going away from what I think Steve Clark's going to do.
That's fine. Hit me with it. Right back? Playing a flat four?
I'm going to play a flat four, aye. This is going to be rogue.
Well, live. Doing it live, so it's going to be...
I know, but we've not breakfast. O'Donnell.
No. O'D. Centre-back.
Hanley and Cooper.
That's a man that's not thought about this.
Robertson. I'm then playing McTominay and McGregor holding.
And McGregor.
Playing Tierney off the left wing.
Oh my God.
Fraser or Forrest off the right. I can't pick until I know who's...
You're playing Tierney Forrest, wide
yeah,
left.
Tierney off the left, yeah. McGinnon behind.
I hate an AMC. Who's on
Dykes it? Dykes up top. McGinn.
Bloody hell. This is wild from you.
No, it's not.
It's so rogue.
Put right Forrest slash Fraser, because it depends if how Forrest kicks on. But well, no, we're going back.
Ideally, your ideal squad. First game, everyone's fit, ready to go. Forrest on the plane.
Forrest.
That's so wild. McGinn and Tierney for me.
Muzz, what are you saying?
Are questionable. Presumably you're David having Marshall. A keeper, Muzz, aye?
David Marshall.
Yep.
What
formation are we in here?
I would go... Right wing back, Forrest. Right centre half, I would go Hanley or Cooper, to be honest. Centre half Cooper, and left centre back Tierney. Robertson left wing back.
I'm thinking this might not be miles away. Apart from Cooper, I don't think he'll go, but
I would then go probably McTominay.
What are you playing him as, a tight three?
I'm playing mine as a box, which is why I've just put them in as MF, because I'm playing like a little rotation, folk coming in and diamond sometimes. Bit of this, bit of that.
Put mine going as McTominay.
I'm going almost a 3-5. Almost a 3-5-2. Okay, so McTominay, McGinn, centre.
McGinn.
And go between Robertson and McTominay and put Jack behind those two.
What about here?
Yeah.
Just as
a defensive midfielder. Yeah.
Who did I just take out there?
McTominay.
So I've basically got, obviously, Robertson and Forrest putting in a shift up the wing. So then Adams and Dykes up front.
Two strikers.
Yeah.
Quite attacking.
Given the fact, Andy, you mentioned how Dykes can, how well he drops and
He'll link up all day, man.
Imagine him flicking on Adams.
He'll link up all day, man.
That started in my head very similar, like I said as we're going through it, to the way that I think Clark might line up, and then it got away from it a wee bit when we've gone two up top. So
see on Muzzy's team, I think if you take Adams out and put Fraser or Christie in, I'm not saying do that, but that say take Fraser or Christie for Adams, you're maybe not, and Cooper obviously because he hates Cooper.
For me that's
Cooper
Gallagher.
For maybe Gallagher or. Yeah. McKenna. I think that's the team, Muzz.
Yeah.
And O'Donnell. No way Steve Clark's playing for us. Yeah.
This is what I mean. It was in my head. It was starting out really strong. It's like, oh, Muzz has almost nailed it because O'Donnell for Forrest, and then you've got Hanley and Cooper. And
he loves Christie as well, Clark. So
Christie.
Yeah, I could see Christie off Dykes instead of. It would be Armstrong in behind, as I've got, but it's going to be Christie. We know it's going to be Christie.
See, so, then, see the See the quality that Adams has brought to that team instantly. Suddenly it looks like we have a real bit of touch of class up front.
Tierney's the next. Gareth Bale, by the way. Heard it heel first. He's powerful, loves to get forward and get in the box. I think people always say, oh, play Tierney left back, play Robertson one up. No, play Robertson left back, play Tierney one up, I think.
See, before you get us wound up or you ask us anything else, Andy, are we winning the Euros here? Because frightening, man. Tierney's class. Robertson, class. Adams, Moz is just saying, brings an unbelievable amount of class. David Marshall, best goalkeeper in the international scene, probably. Some would argue.
I'm disappointed if we don't. So
I think we've done it. I think we've won it already. Game over, man. On to the World Cup.
So that rounds up this week's episode. Please, maybe inviting criticism here. Let us know your thoughts in the comments and on Twitter of the teams that we've picked here. And also let us know your teams, and let's say we'll revisit it near when the tournament starts. So as always, if you could like the video and subscribe to the channel, that would help us massively. Next week, let's say we'll be back because the splits in League 1 and League 2 have been decided, so we'll be back to dissect them. As always, thanks very much for watching and we'll hopefully see you soon. Cheers.
Thank you. Bye-bye.